Okay.
So the topic of tonight's shiur will be, is it appropriate, or is Purim a day where we kind of bend the rules, or do the regular rules apply, and we have to find a way to be Mesameach Simchas Purim within the rules? Okay, so let's start. We're going to discuss four different issues. One is drinking on Purim. One is costumes that have questionable, quote-unquote, kashrus. The third is kind of reckless behavior, and then the issue of humor on Purim. Okay, so in terms of drinking on Purim, so the Megillah already says that Purim are yemei mishta v'simcha. So normally, simcha means, like, we have on Yantiv, we have days of simcha, which are meals, but the word mishta seems to add a component of drinking. And this is seemingly the source for the Gemara, in source number two, famous Gemara, Mechai v'nishla b'suvi v'paraya ad lo yod ben orham l'barach morchai. So a person is, according to the Gemara, required to get drunk on Purim until he doesn't know the difference between Ar Haman and Baruch Mordechai. The Gemara then quotes a story. Rabbi Rav Zera of the Sudas Purim by the Adadis, they would, Rabbi and Rav Zera, made Sudas Purim together, they got drunk, and Kam Rabbi v'shachtei l'Rabbi Zera. Rabbi killed Rabbi Zera. So a miracle happened, and he davened, and Rav Zera came back to life, and Rabbah invited him the next year, he invited him back for the Suda. He said, I don't think we could rely on a miracle anymore. So basically, you have the Gemara, which says that you're supposed to get drunk, followed by a story, which seems to indicate otherwise. And this is where the Rishonim... grapple with how to deal with this Gemara. The Orchos Chaim says straight out, don't get drunk. Getting drunk is an Isser Gomor. It's an absolute prohibition. Right, it's the worst affair in the world, and all you have to do is read Tanakh to know all the various things that have happened over time when people getting drunk. And so what he says it means is you drink a little bit more. The Ran quotes from Rabbeinu Ephraim, who says that once the Gemara brings in the story of Rabbi and Rabbi Zeira, that was an indicator that the original halacha is batal. We don't follow that halacha. And the Meiri kind of combines the first two approaches, that maybe the Gemara originally said to get drunk, but once that story came about, we have to temper that. Some Rishonim have creative interpretations. Rabbeinu Yeruchim talks about the fact that the gematria of Ar Haman Baruch Mordechai is the same, so if you drink enough that you can't figure out the two gematrias, so that's enough. That's enough drinking, which means don't drink too much. It says in the Gemara to get drunk, but then all the later commentators kind of try to walk that back a little bit for very good reason. Meaning, we know from throughout Tanakh that that getting drunk is look what happened to Noah and Lot and all the various characters in Tanakh and the Torah who got drunk. We know that message. The Avudraham, he has also a creative suggestion that they used to have a poem, like what we have, like on Tisha B'Av L'Havdil, we have B'Tzeisim Mitzrayim, B'Tzeisim Yerushalayim, so they had a poem that, the refrain, one was Ar Haman, one was Baruch Mordechai, so if you couldn't keep up the if you got confused and you said the wrong one, so you're drunk enough. So you see that the Rishonim are kind of stepping away from that. The Rambam writes, so you drink enough and to kind of doze off from the drinking. That's how the Ramah in source number 9 and source number 12, the Darkei Moshe and source number 12, the Ramah says what he means is that you should drink enough that you get a little drowsy, and you get drowsy and you fall asleep, and that's the basic chiyuv. The Emek Bracha in Source 10 has a different shot in the Rambam. He quotes from the Brisker Rav, and maybe what it means is that once you get drunk, so you're potter min ha-mitzvahs, you don't do mitzvahs anymore, so you drink up until that point. But until you're at that point, then you're chayav to drink, meaning it's a yom mishteh, it's a day that you drink. And so there's a chiyuv to drink the whole day. What's ad l'yada? Once you don't know ben ar ham baruch mordechai, so then there's the chiyuv of mishteh is no longer. It's not really a practical, you know, it doesn't really serve so much as a practical guide here, because all he's saying is that Adlo Yoda is a p'tur rather than a chiyuv, but it's a chiyuv to drink, and then when you get drunk, so then you're not chayiv in the mitzvah anymore. But anyway, the Ramah, the way we generally understand the way we generally understand the Rambam is like the Ramah, that you drink a little bit more than what you're accustomed to, and you go to sleep, and that's it. The Mechaber, however, quotes the Gemara, doesn't have any qualifications. So you do have the Mechaber kind of take more of a literal approach to this Gemara. Now, the Chayei Adam, and this is where we get back to our theme of bending the rules. So the Chayei Adam says, I'm sorry for the small letters here. V'amnam ha'yidei ba'atzma she'yizalzel az be'mitzvah min ha'mitzvah spin atil sidayim u'bracha b'rachas ha'mazon. If you know that drinking is going to lead you to not keeping the mitzvahs properly, so then oshal yispal mincha marva oshigino kalas rosh mutav shal yishtagav v'chol masav yuz l'shem shemayim. So if you know that you're not going to perform a mitzvah properly, even one mitzvah, then you shouldn't get drunk. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes this, which, you know, I've seen with my own eyes, like people, the halacha is you cannot daven marav if you've drunk and if you've had even a ravias of wine and the effect is still there. Ravias is one cup of wine. If you drank one cup of wine and the effect of wine is still in you, you can't have a marv. And every year we see people come to marv like totally drunk. And if you're drunk with shechuzah shalot, it's even worse. You're not, you know, it's mamash bracha batala. So I think that's something to be cognizant of, that birchas hamazon were more makel, meaning because birchas hamazon generally is said after drinking wine, so we're makel, if you drank a revis of wine, you're allowed to say birchas hamazon, but if you're drunk of shechuzah shalot, you know, that, and I don't think shechuzah shalot, you know, it means that you don't have das to make regular decisions. It doesn't mean that you would do what Lo did, like somebody once told me. While he was drunk. So that's just something to be aware of, that even if you don't follow the Ramah and you follow the Mechaber, I think the Mechaber would agree to this, that getting drunk is not meant to undermine the other mitzvahs of either Purim or any other day of the year. Okay, now the next issue is wearing clothing that might violate halacha. And then here we have two different kinds of costumes. Costumes that people dress up like women, which was a prevalent practice even during the time of the Ramah and before him. The Mari Mintz talks about this. So the Mari Mintz says that the issur of cross-dressing, of a man dressing like a woman, only applies for somebody whose kavana, his intent, is to dress like a woman. So he says that since the people who are dressing up in Purim, their kavana is for Simchas Purim and not to be medame leisha, so then it's mutter. The Mari Mintz is quoted in the Ramah, and the Bach disagrees. The Bach says that's not, I mean, why are you dressing up like a woman? Because you want to look like a woman. So that's not called kavana l'simchas Purim. That's kavana. Your kavana is to look like a woman. You happen to, you know, you're motivated to dress up like a woman because of Purim, but you know, your goal is to look like a woman and not just to wear clothing that happens to be, you know, of the female variety. So, you know, you could theoretically say that if you need a piece for a costume and you want to look like a man, but you need woman's clothing, then maybe then the Bach would agree. The Bach would agree, probably, but if your kavanah is specifically to dress like a woman, even though the motivating factor to do it is Purim, so that's a problem. And the Mishnah Berurah follows the Bach in terms of this. So that's something to be aware of. Maybe for kids, you know, they may, even that, you know, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't discuss kids per se, but if he's machmer, it would be machmer for kids too. What about kilayim? Can you wear shatneys on Purim? So what's the havmina? You can wear shatneys on Purim. And here again, it's not that the person specifically intends to wear shatneys, but you know, like you see sometimes they put out these pirsomos, that some of the costumes contain, you know, you buy vintage clothing that contain shatnez. So the Mishnah already talks about this, and the Gemara about if somebody, the Gemara Baba Kama talks about somebody who wears shatnez to be mavriach as hamechas. Right, you're crossing a border. And they charge for schora, for items that you're purchasing or that you purchased in one country and you're going to the other country. So you put the clothing on just because you don't want to pay the taxes. The Gemara there talks about evading taxes. It's an Isser. And the Gemara gives a few different examples. Here's a modern day example. You know, you go on Spirit Airlines and they charge for the bags to put overhead. So you'll get around it by just wearing a lot of clothes. So if one of those things is shatnez, the Gemara seems to say that's mutter because your kavana is not, as long as you're not cold, if you're schwitzing from the clothes, your kavana is to just get past the guard and not to wear the shatnez. So the Ramah says maybe if your kavana is not to wear the shatnez, but your kavana is Simchas Purim, so maybe there's makom lahakel in that regard. But he's not willing to go all the way, and he says you can only make el in case of shatnez drabana. Now, we don't really have whatever. I don't have time to get into what is shatnez drabana. Maybe for a different time we'll go over hilchos shatnez. There are cases where. Where it might be only shatnez d'rabbanan, so the Rambam says you could be makel. What about breaking things? So Tosus talks about this in terms of Simchas Chasam v'Kala, that maybe if you break things, on the way to, you damage things while dancing, you know, like somebody steps on your toes really hard and they break your shoes, which happens all the time at weddings, so that's part of, you know, that's part of the game, so to say. Tosas would probably say the same thing with basketball. You know, your glasses get broken while you're playing. It doesn't matter whose fault it was. You wore the glasses. That's part of it. But the Aguda points out that doesn't apply to intentionally breaking things, meaning like there can't be a minhag where people just go around and start smashing things. If things get broken in the course of the simcha, so that's okay. Meaning if you're a little more out of control than normal, that's okay. But you can't have a situation where people just break things for no reason. And the last thing I want to discuss is Purim parodies. So we have throughout, the Rishonim themselves wrote Purim parodies. If you look in the Machzor Vitri, Machzor Vitri is basically Rashi's Talmidim wrote a Siddur. So there's a piyut for, we don't say any of these piyutim, but there's piyutim for all the different Yamim Tovim. If you look on, and there's a piyut for Leil HaSeder called Leil Shimurim. There's a piyut in the Machzor Vitri for Purim night called Leil Shikurim. And it's, the whole thing is a joke, meaning it's a humorous attempt at copying, it's a parody of the piyut for Pesach night, transferred over to Purim. And then you have the Rishonim, Kolonimus Ben Kolonimus, who was one of the famous Rishonim, wrote a Purim parody, and the Ralbag wrote a Purim parody. One of the early opponents against these Purim parodies was the Dvar Shmuel Abahab. He has a ban on Maseches Purim, and he says it's a Zilzal HaTorah. The Kaf HaChaim quotes it in Source 24. Rav Avad Yosef discusses the modern day Purim roasts, where people roast the Rosh Yeshiva, so he doesn't think that it's appropriate. He thinks that even though he follows the Aguda, you can't intentionally cause damage to someone. And he thinks it's out of control, and you can't just, even if the Rabbanim are mochel, you shouldn't do it. And Volozhin, they did not follow this approach. So Rabbi Daniel Feldman has a piece that was printed where he shows that there are two different traditions in terms of Purim humor. There are some people who are more straight about Purim, and the humor piece is not a valid part of it. And then you have the Rav Shmuel Avahab and Dvar Shmuel, and Rav Avadia is talking about, and here you could be machalik between making fun of real people and just humor in general. I mean, making fun of people is one thing, and then humor is a different story. I'll just say that Parnas, when he was in YU, so every year, in my time, in yeshiva, they didn't have a Purim spiel. Now they do. So he used to lament that, he said that that's the only way that the Rosh Yeshiva get Musar, to have a Purim spiel and have the Talmidim kind of mock their practices. So that's their way of getting Musar. He thought it was an important part of of Purim or of development as a whole. And we have these two traditions regarding humor as well. Yeah. Yeah, if you want to just stop it.